Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Time to fire the maroons and launch the lifeboats. I think there's choppy waters ahead tonight. Yes, it took some believing that we had one open water swimmer in Newark. Now I find we've got a second. So tonight we hear about their best and their worst swims. Which one of them wimps out and wears a wetsuit? And who just goes out in a cosy, whatever the weather? And of course there's only one big question to ask. Why? Louise Orgel and Tom Marshall are our intrepid swimmers, and they join us in a few minutes' time. And at 7:20, we talk amateur boxing with some of our area's youngsters returning to the Cedric Ford Pavilion this coming Sunday. Paul Cowling tells us who's fighting, who's not, and how you can get a ticket. And of course we take our look at some of the national stories and tell you who's making the local news headlines. I'm Mick Bradley, and for the third night running is here, and this is the unique Radio Newark Sport. And I'd love to say we start with the sports headlines, but we're going to talk Scottish football. And the Scottish FA... Yeah, I'm keeping your mic down so you can't interfere.
Oh, no.
The Scottish FA have made an official approach for the Northern Ireland manager, Martin... Michael O'Neill.
Michael.
They won't get Martin O'Neill.
Don't want Martin after last night, do we?
Good dear. That was just a blip. Michael O'Neill, 48, is the SFA's preferred candidate to succeed Gordon Strachan as the Scotland manager. O'Neill has been in charge of Northern Ireland for 6 years and, of course, just missed out on World Cup qualification when he was cheated by a Romanian referee. His footballing career, of course, takes in Brechin City and Shamrock Rovers. There you go, you see. So he's played at such an high level. And the deal he's on is worth £500,000 a year. Well, they sort of pay that in non-league football over here. One thing, Tony... What's the rush? There is no rush to appoint a new Scotland manager. They've got months. There's a rush to appoint a new Everton manager, but there isn't for a Scotland manager. Not really. They can take the time and think about this. Is Michael O'Neill a big enough name for the job? Is he good enough for the job? I mean, in my world, if he does go, it's a step down. And I'll back that one up by telling you that Northern Ireland are 23rd in the FIFA rankings, and that sixth place is above the Jocks.
But
here we go.
With the players that Scotland have got, they might as well bring Jock Stein back.
Well, he was a good manager.
I mean, the fact is dead. It's pointless, but it's just... I just think the players they've got are never going to compete at international level.
They've got to realise, like everybody else out there has got to realise, that Scotland will have a golden crop of players at some stage. Belgium have got one at the moment, and the favourites, one of the favourites for the World Cup, because their crop of players is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Wales did it on one man.
Yeah.
And when one man didn't play, nor did Wales. You know, you can say what you like about that one, that's a hard and... fact, they've got a world superstar who happens to be Welsh, and that's why they got to the Europeans.
Yeah.
But the two big games they played against England and Portugal, they didn't turn up. So, should Chris Coleman carry on, or has he been after 6 years? Has he done his bit and go and? But we're talking about the Scotland job. I don't know. I mean, it's only a part-time job. Why don't they give it to Ferguson? Well, it is, isn't it?
Well, he's got more chance than Jock Stein, in fairness. But I don't know. I just think Michael O'Neill lives in Edinburgh. He's proved himself to be a very good guy with Northern Ireland. Obviously, his club career isn't particularly impressive, but it's more impressive than the best ones that play in Scotland. So it's just...
So he's got your vote?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think his profile fits. But as you say, we don't play again till March.
Okay, one more quick one. Which country's just qualified for their fourth successive World Cup? Australia.
Have they?
Yes, their fourth successive World Cup. They beat Honduras 3-1 at the Stadium Australia in Sydney. Some Aston Villa player I've never heard of scored a 53rd minute free kick. 76,000 fans watching it.
That's impressive.
76,000. So, you know, and they've just qualified.
Yeah.
I was going to say, why don't Scotland go in Australia's group and play Papua New Guinea and Tonga and teams like that?
Did those?
But they got beat at rugby league when they played Papua New Guinea and Tonga and teams like that, didn't they? Oh, you walked into that one, didn't you? Who's making the local headlines? Let's find out. And another good day at the Magnus for the Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club. The Jags 2 beating Wolverhampton 61 points to 36 before Jags 1 just lost out to the Panthers 71-45. And I keep telling you, get down there and have a look at it. And it sounds like one or two of you are. Carl Greaves has announced the signing of the former national amateur champion and unbeaten professional Jimmy Cooper. And his dad, Tommy. His first fight in the Greaves colours will be on the 13th of December at Sheffield. Former New York Swimming Club member Tim Bagley competed in York University at the British University Short Course Swimming Championships at Ponds Forge, recording the time of 59.87 seconds for the 100 metres freestyle and a personal best in the 400 metres freestyle. Better than his dad.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And these are our intrepid open water swimmers.
Now, but Gareth Dad informed us that we've not just got two open water swimmers.
We have three, but yes.
Tim Bagley's joined the field.
This is the logic of the president of the Nottinghamshire Amateur Athletic Association. Newark has three open water swimmers and one lives in York. He's just become a granddad. He's not getting a lot of sleep. Now, to be honest, I mean, there's sports and there's crazy sports. Okay. And I've been trying to work out why anybody would go open water swimming. Racked my brains on this one. I've come up with at least one answer for the two of them. I know why Louise goes open water swimming. She can't hear her husband's jokes. That's reason in itself.
That's coming from a bloke who's just said I know his dad, Tommy.
I'm here all week, folks. Tom worries me. Because the last time he was supposed to be here, he couldn't find us. You know, and he's sort of out there, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or somewhere. And, you know, he keeps looking up. If he can't find this place...
The Adam Holland of the swimming world.
Yes! We have another Adam Holland. Oh, dear. But one of them, as we said right at the top of the show, one of them is brave and wears a cozzy. One of them won't go in there without a wetsuit. Shall we go with ladies first?
Yeah.
Good evening and welcome back to Radio Newark, Louise Orgill. Just that's it. See, the big chatting amongst themselves and haven't got the mic ready. Good evening, Louise. Flying solo tonight because...
I know, no jokes tonight.
He's not here.
No, he's got to prepare all his Christmas crackers, so all his jokes for his Christmas crackers. So
I bet you're glad you're here, aren't you?
I am.
First question,
Yes.
Do you wear a wetsuit?
I don't wear a wetsuit, no.
Good evening, Tom Marshall.
Hello.
Do you wear a wetsuit?
I might wear a wetsuit.
He's got to have someone to keep his maps in.
Sounds like that. You can take that any way you like. Oh dear, it's only 12 minutes past nine. Yeah. Louise, let's do a serious bit. It won't last long, don't worry. Let's do a serious bit. Open water swimming. It's something that you've always done, or not?
No, I started off in the pool, and I got into open water swimming probably in 1996, where I was introduced to it by my older brother. So, yes, since then I've been open water and convert. Never worn a wetsuit for a race.
I felt like I'd get picked on.
Have you at any stage wore a wetsuit? I mean, it's something that you've just never done. The Open Water Swimming Association that you're in, which is inland, lakes, locks.
Yes.
They do win the wash, which is...
Yeah, the BLDSA... Yeah. The regulations is traditional swimsuits only, and if you turn up in a leg suit, they will get the scissors out and cut the legs off. And I have seen that happen, which is quite entertaining.
So, Mr. Marshall,
I don't know what to say there.
Last time you come in, you've swum in all these exotic places, all these warm places.
Yeah, that's me. The warm environment with a warm wetsuit.
Could you ever envisage not wearing a wetsuit then?
There was a time in Cornwall when I tried it. So it was really, really cold, and I thought...
You must have been in Devon, mate, if it was cold.
Yeah, Devon.
Yeah, it would have been Devon if it was cold.
Yeah, we're in Devon, yeah. That's right. We'll say Devon. Absolutely freezing. I think Caroline, my partner, had a duvet around me for about an hour till I stopped shaking. So ever since, I've been trying to stay away from the non-wetsuit environment.
When did you get the bug?
I got it in New Zealand about 6 or 7 years ago. There was an open water pool that we had. It was a 60-metre pool. It was absolutely gorgeous. And it was right on the front. So it was on Tamaki Drive, which is right in the heart of Auckland. Some of the triathletes run past it when they're doing their ITU racing. Gorgeous, gorgeous pool. And met some really like-minded swimmers. Started to get better. And they all did their open water races. And there was a Thursday night... series that went on throughout pretty much the whole year with the wetsuit, which allowed us to do like 2K racing every Thursday. So I got the bug through that and then took it further afield and brought it back with me when I came home.
We're going to talk after 7:30 about some of the favourite swims, some of the best springs, some of the best venues. I'm just thinking to myself at the moment, he's sort of in New Zealand and Louise is in a disused gravel pit in Leicestershire. But,
which I'm sure has its appeal as well.
I'm sure Tom may win this round.
Quite easily.
Louise swims in competitions. Do you do it now for fun, or are you sort of a competition...
Yeah, it's always racing. So my training takes place at Activities Away, so Lincoln Way at Highcombe. But every other race I do is pretty much where I enter the open water. So, I mean, if we go to the Lake District on holiday, I'll take my wetsuit with me and we'll do some training in, like, colic and...
shaking. Yeah. What we need here is Facebook Live for this.
Take his wetsuit with him.
Yeah, you know. Got to brave it, as you are.
If you see Louise turn up, don't join in then. I'll have the scissors round where you should have the scissors.
I think I'd try it. I think I'd love to give it a go once or twice. I think if the water was too cold, I might just start shivering away. But and my body starts shutting down. But I'd definitely like to give it a go.
Okay, serious question again then. How do you get over that, Louise? I mean, is your body now sort of acclimatised to this?
It is.
I mean, if somebody like Tom who didn't put his wetsuit on then... Could it be problems?
It could be quite dangerous. If you've never been in cold water without a wetsuit, it can be quite scary and dangerous. It's all about building up the resistance. I'd start going in May time when the water's about 10 degrees and building it up. Probably daily do 200 metres first time I go in for the season, and then build it up to swim distances of 5K, 9 miles, 6 miles. So your body does get used to it, but it's not for everybody. And as long as you get out with a smile, joking aside, it doesn't matter if you wear a wetsuit or not.
As long as you get out, I'll be quite happy. I mean, you've, of course, got the added obstacle of some fool in a canoe trying to tell you jokes at the side of you.
I tend to swim slightly behind him, so I can't hear him.
The thing about that is when, I don't know how Tom does it, but when Louise, their association, somebody partners them.
Yes.
So there's somebody in a canoe, and if they do get into trouble, the theory is that they hang on to the side of the canoe, but more often than not, when we've talked to Louise, it's the canoe that's more likely to capsize than Louise.
Yeah, there's been some rough swims this year.
In your competitions, is it basically every man for himself?
It's pretty mass participation. So there's someone overlooking it, and there are kayaks in the water, but more general, on a general sense. I think when you're doing, I mean, you've got, what, 25, 30 people doing some of the events.
Yeah, 30, 40,
swimming.
Yes.
And they get distributed over such a massive distance. A lot of the things I do are laps as well. So you're all sort of overlapping people. And I think the hard bit with the wetsuit and these mass participations is when you get fire the gun off and you start swimming over the tops of each other. And it's quite aggressive. I quite enjoy that bit. But I can imagine it.
It's like the Blue Planet, this, isn't it? The turtles racing down to the water.
Some survive.
some survive. You see Tom being picked up by an overgrown seagull. And on that note, let's go boxing. There you go. You see modern technology. Hopefully now we can say good evening to Paul Cowling. Paul, are you there?
Yeah,
it's worked. It's a bit tight, but we got there in the end. Paul, another big weekend of boxing for your youngsters coming up.
Yeah, amateur boxing show, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
One Sunday afternoon, doors open, 1 p.m, and first bout's 2 p.m. We've got six lads from Newark, amateur boxers, ranging from the ages of 12 to 17 years of age. And it'll be a full show, about 14 or 15 bouts on them. All going well, so...
I mean, when you put the one on in springtime, it was a full house. The atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. It was the first time that you'd done this at the Cedric Ford, and it really does seem to have taken off now. Now we sort of seem to be going down there on a regular basis. The Newark public love their boxing, don't they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And they also understand their boxing, which is probably more to the point.
Yeah, well, you get the right people who's coming to the show anyway, you know what I mean? It's all like the amateur boxing, you know, what's in order. We're coming out and enjoying themselves, like, you know, while we're supporting the young'uns, like, so, yeah, it's definitely a good event.
Right, I've got some good Newark names fighting on Sunday. Tell us a little bit about them. I've got five on my list. You said six, so I've missed one out, so you'll put me right on that one. Yeah. First one I've got is Charlie Pearson.
Yeah, Charlie Pearson, 17 years of age, yeah.
He's
a boxer. Yeah, strong lad. Yeah, very tough lad, yeah.
And who's he up against?
Well, we don't know. We have the finals matching up. We've all got matched up, but obviously the names aren't got in front of me at the moment.
Oh, right.
They've all got matched. But like anything else, it can swap and change. It's all depending on the weight, but we've always got standbys anyway.
So. Right, so he'll be fighting. The main thing is he'll be fighting.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
What's Charlie's record then?
It'll be 24-1-16.
That's not bad going, is it?
No. Yeah.
Andrew Price.
Yes.
And,
15 years old.
15 years old.
Yeah.
And again, another good New York name, Billy Cowling.
That's him, yeah. 13 years old, yeah. And he's had 22 bouts now. It's a 50-50, 11-11. He boxed last Friday at the festival in Ilkeston and had a win. And so he's on full of confidence, ready for his bout on Sunday.
So he's going into it in good form, then?
Yeah.
Harrison Dixon I've got?
Yes. Yeah, he's looking for his first win. He was unfortunate, not his first debut, but he got a majority decision against him. But a close fight, right? But anyway, he's ready to square that up and get his first win, right? So he'll be very keen. They've all trained hard. They've put all the work in, so we've got no trouble with the fitness levels, right? So it's just what they come out on the bell, you know, so...
Harley Gregory.
Yeah. He had a fight 3 weeks ago. He won his first fight, unanimous decision. Bit of a live wire, non-stop punching, good fitness, non-stop activity win, right? You know, so, yeah, looking good. All looking good.
Have I missed anybody, then?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it for this Sunday.
Because you've got one injury, haven't you?
That one injury, the oldest, which is Tom Carlin. He's had a bit of a back problem, and the physio won't release him. They said it's unwise for him to take the back, you know, so it might be in the new year when he has his first one, right, again for this season.
And however disappointed that Tom is, at the end of the day, it's their safety, isn't it?
Yeah, every time. Yeah. Every time. That's why everything's got to be right weights. The medical officer involved, you know, paramount is just the boxer's health, you know, and that's it. You know, it's we're sore boxes. Can we just make it because we've got a big crowd following? Can you just, you know, change the weights and all? No, it's not right. It's not going on. As simple as that.
How are the youngsters in the build-up to it, Paul? Because, you know, it's okay going to the Hilton Hotel, the Tilkers, and that's, you know, fantastic. Yeah. That's another day out. But this time, they're a Newark lad in front of a Newark crowd in Newark. Is it difficult for you to keep them sort of just chilled out and on the level a little bit?
Yeah, well, once in the changing rooms and that, we all keep together, like, and keep each other getting a little bit nervous and everything. Obviously, they've got to have a boxing soon, like, but they don't get too excited. I always say to keep away from being this, don't start socialising too much with your friends in the audience. Get your job done first. Get the bout out of the way, and then you can socialise, because there's nothing worse. It's like shaking hands and being life and soul of the party, and then 10 minutes later you're boxing. So get them in the changing room, get them focused, and away we go, like, you know, so...
How does people get tickets, or is it sold out already?
No, there's still some tickets left. You can get contact me on my mobile if you want to.
Do you want to give it out on the air?
Yes, it's 0797 079
4472. So give Paul the ring and the Cedric Fall. What time does it start, Paul?
Well, doors open at 1, first bout's 2 o'clock. We've got food this time, the last time... at the showground, they want no food, so a lot of people was complaining. We did organise it, but anyway, it fell through at the last minute at the last show. But we've got it up and running for Sunday, so everything's you know.
That's what it's all about.
Everything's looking good. Yeah.
Anybody wants to get down there on Sunday, get yourself down there, because if anything like the last one was to go by, it's a cracking afternoon, and these youngsters representing Newark in Newark, you've really got to go and support them, because. They give it everything, so we should be giving it everything as well. Paul, we'll try and catch up with you next week to find out how they all got on.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Bye. Cheers. Paul Carlin. And Newark is a boxing hotbed, isn't it? It's not a bed of open water swimming, as I'm finding that. But it's also, it loves its boxing, doesn't it?
I think we're very, very lucky in Newark, because we've had some great success, and success attracts support, doesn't it? I mean, if we'd have had a load of rubbish boxers, then people wouldn't be interested. But when you've had the likes of Carl Graves, Ishan Pickering, people like that, our very own Andrew Lowe, you know, they've had some very, very good lads. But the youngsters coming through are obviously quality as well, so good luck to them.
Exactly, and it's Newark Sport at its best once again. Let's have a look at some of the national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And Sir Bradley Wiggins claims the attention given to the mystery package that was sent to him at the cycling race in 2011 has felt like a malicious witch hunt. The UK anti-doping has closed the investigation and brought no charges. Sir Bradley says it's been living hell, full of innuendo and speculation. It's been claimed the package contained a legal decongestant. In a long statement, Britain's most decorated Olympian says he's now assessing his legal options. South Africa had been expected to win the vote for the next
rugby union competition, but France has been named to do the tournament in 2023. That's a long way off, Tony. Long way off for us, let's put it like that. World Rugby Chairman Bill Beaumont is happy with the bidding process, even though the vote went against the governing body's recommendation. And of course, the other main story of the day is the Scottish FA want the Northern Ireland manager, Michael O'Neill, to be their next manager.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It sounds like Sir Bradley's really pumped up about that one.
Well, they found absolutely nothing wrong, and now we can take him to the cleaners, can't he? And I'm not taking that joke one step further. I'm really not. And he complains about my standards of joke. Dear, oh dear.
Aren't we mentioning England-Brazil?
No.
Oh.
Why? What have you got to say about that?
I was just going to say, I thought that the kids did superbly well.
I thought it was two credible draws. Okay, we didn't score in 180 minutes of football, but we didn't concede a goal either. And as we said last night, I thought the kids did do well. I feel that you've got to bring Harry Kane back into it.
To get some goals.
Because we need to score a goal. And I feel you've got to bring Dele Alli back into it, because he is quality. But the Joe Harts and the Jordan Hendersons and Gary Cahill and one or two more... You know, can't bring the kids in, chat about them, and then you're either going to do it, or you're not. You can never win with a team of kids.
But England had one star on the shirts. Brazil had five. You know, that's their World Cup pedigree. But, I mean, we're talking history, and unless you support Forest, you wouldn't want to talk history. But modern day, I thought Brazil were very poor going forward, but England defended it very well. And I go along with the whole of the national journalists and say England are going to win the World Cup now, surely.
Yeah, I used to read your back pages. And just for the record, folks, Nottingham Forest have won the European Cup on two occasions, and Dirty Leeds have never won it.
And neither have Berwick Rangers, in fairness.
No. Or Berwick in Europe.
Only if we go to war.
Exactly. Open water swimming. Ladies first, Louise Allgill. Started in 1996, so she's got lots of stories to tell us. The first one she's going to tell us, the best venue that you've ever been to. The memory, that was absolutely fantastic. And don't you dare say a quarry in Leicestershire.
the gravel pit of your dreams.
Yeah.
my favourite is Coniston. Just because it's a nice distance, it's 5.5 miles, and it's just lovely to watch the world go past as you swim down the lake.
But if I said to you, where's your favourite place in the whole wide world, I'm almost certain it'd be the Lake District.
Yeah. No, we've been round to some different ones. We've been to Ellerton Lake this year, which is just outside Catterick, which is a quarry. And we've also been to Lake Barla this year, which I'd never been to. And
this is the Welsh one.
It's a beautiful place, lovely place to go.
But Coniston is your home, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you ever fancied going out into the sea, or are you? Because this is where you two differ, isn't it?
Yes, I don't like jellyfish. No, I've done a couple of sea swims.
Tony does with chips. In fact, Tony likes anything with chips.
No, I've done a couple of sea swims. I've done Malta to Gozo, full of jellyfish. I've done round the Scilly Isles, which was quite entertaining.
Oh, you're my favourite now, Cornwall. You're out.
And then I've done... the Corrobeacon, which is All Wales Whirlpool in Scotland. That was cold. I was tempted to wear a wetsuit.
Whoa. I'm going to bring you back to two here. Obviously the Scilly Isles, because they are just...
beautiful, gorgeous. Nice and warm.
So, did you go around... How did you do that?
You started on St Mary's, you swam across to Tresco, and you just went round. Each swim varied in distance. Didn't see any jellyfish, so I was all right. Because if I get stung by jellyfish, I get out. I don't like it.
I don't blame you.
But yeah, no, it's lovely walk.
Not enough trouble with them in Cornwall last year.
And it's quite shallow, so you can see the bottom and you can see the fish. So it's quite entertaining as you swim round.
So how long did that? I mean, you've had breaks when you've been a day sort of thing,
weren't it? Yes, the boat took you back to where you started every day. So it was just more of a casual swim rather than a race.
And the whirlpool in Scotland, which is supposed to be the biggest in the world.
Yeah,
you have to tell me what, I can't get my tongue around it. Corravecan.
Which, lovely swim, it's about 800 metres, but they take you for a whitewater ride on the whirlpool to start with. You think, oh,
they're surely not going to let you get too close to it.
Well, you don't swim until it's slack tide. So you say you've swam it, but it's slack tide, and there's a window of about 45 minutes where you can get in and safely swim across it.
And is there still a pull there then? When you know, is it pulling you? Can you feel?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. No, not at slack tide. You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere. I mean, there's a slight tidal current, but nothing.
And then did you go back at sort of high tide and see it in its element?
Yeah, which is lovely. But yeah, no, I'd stick to the lakes, I think.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain I would on that one. The ours are silly, right? That's top marks. You've got something to go now, pal.
Oh, I had my second there.
So, Tom, same question.
Yeah.
Your favourites?
I did a race in New Zealand from the Volcanic Mountain, which is just outside of the Auckland city there. And they drop you off, and then you swim back to shore. And that was really special. So you'd get on the big ferry, they take you across, they chuck you out. You're looking back where you've got to swim back to. You can barely see it.
Sounds like England on tour.
They chuck you out, yeah. There's a little spot on the horizon you've got a sight. They stop the boating lanes from being active for a couple of hours. You've got to hit a certain point before the tide changes. And that was amazing. That was really special. And it was only about 5K, so nothing to the distances that you're swimming. But I think that's probably as far as I'm sort of ventured out there just at this moment in time, about 5 kilometres.
Yeah, let's excuse some of these questions. But if you get the tide wrong,
yeah,
how difficult is it to swim against a tide?
That particular swim was doable. I think you just had to put a lot more effort in. The problem being is the better swimmer you are, the easier you pass the threshold. So the slower swimmers had the more difficult elements, if you like. So some of the back end of that race were getting pulled out because they weren't strong in the first place. But, I mean, I did a swim down in Cornwall around...
Good on that, that's the point.
We're back on the scoreboard. That was at Goran Haven. And are you familiar with Goran Haven?
Is that North Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't count.
So there's a little rock out to sea. I think it was about a 3.8K swim. You swim around the rock and back. And the tide was insane. It looked really still from the harbour. As you started to swim out, massive jellyfish, like you were saying. And not until after did you get told that the big jellyfish are the harmless ones. It's the little ones you've got to be careful about. So, but that doesn't help you in the race when you're seeing this massive jellyfish and you're picking up your catch in the water just to make sure that you're not too deep and you're going to scrape the tentacles. And that was really tough. So that pushed you straight across away from the rock. So if you weren't swimming in the direction away from the rock, so the tide would pull you around it, you ended up having at the very last minute to get cut straight across it and head on to this drift that was bringing you across, this current that was pushing you across.
Because when I'm down there, my uncle's always, because he used to be on the lifeboat, so he's ultra cautious, and he's always gone on about rip tides, rip currents.
Yeah.
What? Just for newer people, because we see it so often on TV, caught out in a rip current.
Yeah.
What is a rip current? Rip tide, rip current.
Just a spontaneous element in which pulls you in a different direction, created by the swirls of the ocean.
And this is going to be underneath, so you're not seeing it, are you?
No.
But when you're in it, that's... Because he said, you know, times many they've had to go out when people's just been dragged out and they just cannot get back.
Well, this race in particular was monitored till about 15 minutes before we went out, and monitored as absolutely fine, absolutely safe. And I think about two-thirds of the races got pulled off because they just couldn't cope with the amount of directional changes. They were getting pulled in all directions. They couldn't get around the rock, like I was saying. And a lot of that was hidden from view, and the chop got worse and worse, and that didn't help the situation because you've got to swim differently when the chop's out. You've got to get a real high arm recovery, which ruins your technique to some degree. So if you're a pool swimmer or a lake swimmer, and you haven't got that aggression on the front end of your stroke, it's quite hard to get through it.
If you excuse my pun at this stage, I watched the Blue Planet on Sunday night, and that scared me about ever getting in any sort of water again. Mick can't swim, so we are really out of our depth here.
There we go. Tony, there hasn't been a fish invented to take you on.
No, but there's a thing called the bobbit. Did you see this bobbit?
Yes, I did see the bobbit.
Oh,
you should watch this.
It's
a sort of a worm that just comes up and... Yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah, it's...
Oh,
yes.
Oh, but dear.
Some of those I'd be a little bit scared.
Tony, you don't get bobbits off Skeggy.
No, but that was scary.
You don't.
I'm still not sleeping well.
Jellyfish you don't like, Louise.
No,
you don't get many in Coniston.
You don't,
water.
No. Thankfully.
But the British jellyfish, apparently, they sting you, but they don't really do any damage, do they?
No. It's like an elastic band hitting you. If you imagine an elastic band just twanging and hitting you, it's just like that. But three strikes and I'm out.
Good girl. So, Coniston water is the swim of the dreams.
Yes.
What's the swim of the nightmares?
Well, this year... It's one of the first times I've ever got out of a swim, and Tom's going to laugh and get his own back here. I got out because it was too cold. It was a 6-mile swim, and I got out after 3 miles, and that was in St Mary's Loch in Scotland. It was just too cold. It was below 12 degrees, and I got to 3 miles, and I thought I could finish it, but it's not going to be worth it, not the state you'd get in. It's not worth going through hypothermia. It's a bit of fun at the end of the day.
And let's go to the serious bit again then. Now, you've got to know in your own mind when enough's enough, haven't you?
Yes, you have. You've got to be very sensible. The lock's going to be there forevermore in a day, so just go back next year and give it another go. But if you notice that you're getting cold, then your boat crew's going to easily notice it, which is why I've got individual safety cover.
What was the telltale signs for you then in that swim that, hang on a minute, I'm pushing this?
Couldn't get warm, you couldn't get your stroke rate, you couldn't get into your stroke, so it was all over the place, to be honest. And I just could not get warm, just didn't warm up. Normally you've got cold hands, you've got cold feet, but normally your internal would feel quite warm, but just working away, you just didn't get warm. I'm not enjoying it. Time to get out.
You'd got nothing to draw to gain, had you?
No. It's a bottle of whiskey at state for finisher.
You have got something to gain.
And the funniest thing is, because it was two-way, my boat crew has to canoe back. So I left Rob. I got in the motorised safety cover. And I left
see you
Rob
later, Rob.
Left him at the far end. Bye.
Knock.
Who's there? Back.
Not me. Bye.
That would never happen in a wetsuit, would it, Tom?
Well, you say that.
So go on then. Same question. Your worst nightmare.
My worst nightmare. That swim I've described as one of the hardest ones I've ever done. Just getting caught in the current, getting pulled to one side, and thinking, "Am I going anywhere?" Because there's no point of reference when you're out in the sea. A guy in a kayak came over, tapped me. I was like, what the, you know? Where's he come from? And he said, I'm going to pull you out in 10 minutes unless you start moving. So clearly I was just staying in the same direction and going in one spot in like a little circle. So I put like 10 minutes of really hard effort and managed to start making some movements towards the back towards the land. But it's scary because you think there's 5 or 6 kayaks out there. There's a race of probably 100 people. A lot of people are in problems. So how many kayaks can really come and help you out? So, I mean, in some senses, you've got the luxury of having, when you're doing your non-wetsuit swims, you've got the protection of having, you know, one kayak per person. And the flip side of that is if you've got a wetsuit race and there's not so many out there, then you get isolated and no one sees where you've gone. you can have your own set of problems. But I mean, 12 degrees is crazy. Just to put it in perspective, like, if you
this is so cold. Like,
when I go to activities away and it opens at Highcombe in the lake and it's 11, 12 degrees and I've got my nice warm wetsuit on, my fingers and hands are just dropping off. And you get to the point where you're trying to spear into the water and your hand's just slapping it because you've got no ability to feel and no ability to put your fingertips in first. So you end up just, like, punching the water. So if you get to that point, you're under a lot of trouble. I don't understand how you can take the wetsuit off the whole time and have your whole body at that point.
Is that when you shout for duvet, girl?
Yeah, that's when Caroline comes with a duvet. Bless her.
Tom, you've got sort of your fingers in many pies at the moment. The fact that you are so busy, is that going to curtail any trips to do anything else on? I'll do your bucket list after the ad break, but
yeah
the fact that you're doing the triathlons as well,
correct?
The swimming there is going to be lake swimming,
absolutely,
and that's where you foresee your imminent future.
Yeah, I mean, I love my swimming. I think swimming to 1 degree got me into triathlon. I was always a good runner, I always kept it up. But that was mainly through the football that we'd spoken about. So
straight line to the byline, then chat. Tom,
yeah,
turn now.
Yeah, no turning a triathlon. So yeah. It's okay. Don't have to turn anymore. So I think I'll always keep my swimming events going throughout the year. I mean, this year, I didn't do any isolated swimming events. It was all part of my triathlon, because I sort of stepped up my distance in triathlon, so I had to train for three disciplines. So I had no real time to concentrate on each individual event and just train as a whole and wait for those bigger events to come. And next year I've signed up for my full Ironman. So that in itself is a 3.8-kilometre swim before the rest. So I've got to spread my time and then my coaching side of things, which I'm doing at the moment. So it's a challenge, but I'm enjoying everything. You know, everything I can involve around my life that's part of it would be fantastic. And if I do get the opportunity to do some really long individual swim events like the Coniston you were saying or the Windermere swim, I think that'd be fantastic, you know, going forward.
I think we've established that orienteering is out then.
I don't know who he is either, don't I? Do you have winter off then, Louise? I mean, is it close season? I mean, surely you're not going to get into water in these temperatures.
Well, you could, but I'm not that daft. You could, but no, it doesn't tick any boxes for me to do winter swimming. So I'm back in the pool and I won't go open water until May when it's 10, but 11 degrees.
One of the ones that you do, though.
Yes.
Is seawater, isn't it? Is it the wash?
Oh, yes.
Now, that is when you do venture out into...
Yeah, well, yes, BLDS, they do a few. They do Torbay two-way, which I've never done, so that's on my list for next year. But we do Lyme Regis, which is in the Relief Channel. Sounds really gorgeous, doesn't it? And touch wood, when I've done it, they've never opened the sluice gates. But they have raced there.
Who needs Rob Orgill?
They have raced there when the gates have been opened, and you know about it. But it's cold. It's about 14 degrees.
The one you do, though, is the wash, isn't it? Across the wash, or
no, never done that one. No,
What's the King's Lynn one that you do?
That is the King's Lynn one, in the Relief Channel.
The Relief Channel is the King's Lynn one,
yeah.
Just very quickly before going to the break, then, the channel too far for you, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. And you can't wear your wetsuit across the channel.
You see, Louise's lot's got that one covered, haven't they? And break, and then it's bucket list time. November means sort of two things to Radio Newark Sport. One is we start reminiscing about the year that's gone past. And two, of course, in conjunction with Active for Today, it's Sports Awards season. And I'm one of three people in the whole world that knows who's won the Sports Awards for 2017. And the first full week in December on this show, we're going to go out and about, we're going to have a couple of shows in here, and we're going to be announcing the winners of the 2017 Sports Awards. And I've seen the winners, and I'm already looking forward to what is going to be an absolute cracking week, showcasing the fact that Newark has most definitely got sporting talent. People that talk about it all the time is not up to much, but there's talent there.
I take it we're not on the list of winners then.
No, we haven't won again, Tony. No, no. Me and you haven't won again. Best double that's gone to these two. We're out of it. Bucket this time. Ladies first. Where would you, the one that you really, really want to do?
Loch Lomond. I don't think I'll ever be able to do it, but I'd rather do Loch Lomond than the Channel. I've got no wishes to do the Channel, but I can see the appeal of doing Loch Lomond.
I can see no appeal in the Channel because you've got some blinking big boats coming across you. And jellyfish.
And jellyfish. Yeah, and everything else
in
the Channel.
What's Loch Lomond's distance?
21 miles. The BRDS says...
Which is pretty much the same as the Channel.
Yes, yes. They have a biannual championship, so they do... two-way Windermere 1 year and then Loch Lomond the following year. So they alternate it. But it's a lot and lot of training. I don't think I could fit that in. But if I could, Loch Lomond would be there.
So that's the one that you'd love to do, but realistically, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
The one that you'd love to do and is going to happen in 2018. You did just mention it before we started, before we had the break.
Yes.
And that's going down to Torbay.
Torbay, yes. I'd like to do, whether it's the veterans one way or the seniors two ways, I've not decided.
How do you sneak into the veterans? You shouldn't be in the veterans.
Oh, sweet talk.
You got me here.
Well, I have a confession to make, you see, because I've won the Grand Prix Series for the veterans this year. So
yeah,
I've got
Dad, come on,
I've got a title to defend next year.
Whatever you can. Well done, you.
I know. It's great. Pretty good.
Fantastic. But, so you've won the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Absolutely, so
that's
excellent.
That's really good.
Nice big trophy.
Oh, well, we don't have the presentation until March. So we have it mid-winter season to keep us all going.
Oh, well done you.
So, yeah, so that's got to be on my list, I think.
Louise has won a trophy. You're struggling again, aren't you?
Oh, yes, unfortunately. I keep falling behind this point list.
So just tell us the Torbay one again, then.
Torbay is, the senior is two-way, which is 7 miles, 6.5 miles, somewhere around there, depending on the tide. And the veterans is one-way, which is just over 3 miles. So I'm not quite deciding. Rob doesn't know I'm thinking of doing it yet. So, hello, Rob.
Okay. Torquay for holidays next year, Rob. There's worse places to go. We've got a steam railway there. What more can you ask for?
There we go.
There you go. Okay, Tom, can you beat that one? The one that you'd like to do, but you're never going to get round to doing, and the one that you are definitely going to do.
I'd love to do Windermere. The full length of Windermere, which I believe is at 15?
10.5
miles.
So it's already achievable?
Yeah. I say I'm in kilometres. So
okay.
We're in miles. You can see now the age difference between Tom and the rest of us.
Bless him.
He's only a young lad, isn't he?
He shouldn't really be up.
It wasn't last time.
Yeah, I was late, you see. Maybe I was sleeping before.
So you fancy Windermere?
Well, I'm really fancy
absolutely
Windermere,
sure, yeah. Louise can organise that one for you.
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah, that's simple.
Yeah, I'd love to do Windermere. I think a lot of my swimming-related goals fall into triathlon, and they're time-related. So I'd love to do my full Ironman in under 10 hours, which would mean I'd have to be close to the hour for the 3.8 swim. So I have a lot of goals that are time related. So if I was to do Windermere, which would be fantastic, I've got to take a step back from that time related goal and just enjoy the distance and just get into that really strong, steady stroke pattern. And I do like the idea of, as the older I get, the more I focus on the distance rather than necessarily how fast I'm doing it. So lots of these events that you're saying sound fantastic. I'd love to get involved in, you know, most of these. But for short term, yeah, Windermere would be fantastic. Maybe Coniston. I love the lakes. We do holidays in the lakes once every year, and I never seem to time it very well when these events are going off. So that's going to be the a couple of years. Next year is going to be Ironman goal. And then after that, I think definitely love to do some of these long swims. really push myself.
You're listening to an advertisement for the Lake District Comedy Association. It used to be called Radio New at Sport.
Brushes are available in the foyer.
I've never been to the Lake District, Louise.
That's
one part of the country I've never, ever been to. I've always assumed it rained.
It does. But that's why they've got lakes.
We call them puddles. Coniston or Windermere?
Favourite.
Oh.
Because...
Coniston because
the young lad here wants to go to Windermere.
Yeah, I can understand that. And my first ever open water swim was in Windermere. Nice swim, length of Windermere. Especially when you see the car ferry stop for you to go over. Yeah. Brilliant sort of feeling. But I just love Coniston. It's just a more doable distance. So it's 5.5 miles, so it's nice. It's a morning swim.
Morning swim. Oh dear. So you've retired for winter.
Yes.
You're doing your triathlon training. We spoke about that when you was in here three or four weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
It looks to be going well.
Yeah. Yeah, really good.
The numbers are building.
Yeah, the coaching side of things is going really well. Yeah, early morning sessions, it's cold, it's not the time to be setting this sort of business up, but I'm getting my numbers. I'm getting 6-7 on a regular basis, and then my own training is going really well, so I'm managing to slot it all in, trying to get my pool time, as we were talking about before, trying to get my long bike rides in there, which is really tough because the weather's really cold and wet out there. But this is the time to do it, or maybe the turbo comes out and I start doing a little bit of internal work inside the house.
We wish one of your regulars a healthy recovery, because I don't know if you even know this, but Faye Hemingway came off a bike.
Yes, I saw that.
Today, and she's hurt herself, I think, rather badly, bruised herself sort of rather badly, and it necessitated a visit to the hospital. So, Faye, I know you do listen to this show now and again. If you are listening, because you're obviously not out running tonight... get well soon, because we want to see you back in this studio again very soon. And I went on one of the back of your how to ride a bike sessions, was it?
Well, she was with me this morning, actually. So I might feel a little bit responsible for maybe running a ragged first thing at 6 a.m. Yeah, Faye's one of my regulars. She's lovely.
Lovely,
fantastic.
Faye's.
So absolutely, you know, thoughts with Faye at the moment.
Yeah, get well soon, Faye. And I, you know, really do hope that it's nothing too serious and everything sort of comes back very soon. Fantastic. It's a long time since we've laughed so much as we've laughed in the last hour. We've had a great fun with both of you tonight. And, you know, I totally, totally admire what you do. I think you're balmy, but I really do admire it. I mean, some sports are hard work. They really are. This one is dangerous. It's hard. It's you against the elements.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and to pit yourselves against that. And I know seriousness about the water. I've learnt from, you know, I'm a big lifeboat thing. I know about that. To go in there, nothing but admiration for both of you. And come back next year and keep telling us
what
you're doing. Because even though we've had a laugh, it's very serious, and what you do is absolutely fantastic. Don't forget, all these shows are podcasts. Give us about a week to get them on. The Tutor Reed footballers are on there, the boys and the girls, of course, and the Forest Legends are on there. That's the team that won the European Cup twice. If I haven't mentioned that one, Leeds have never won it once. They're all on there. Lots and lots of podcasts on there for you to do. And this will be sometime next week. This one's going to be on there as well, so enjoy it. Tomorrow night, Claire Hodnett's join us. Rugby referee extraordinaire. Can't wait for that one. Bye bye.